And a special thank you again to our brother Aaron for coming and ministering in song. We trust the Lord will bless that message to every heart and every soul. If you're not saved tonight, well, that you would consider that great question. What a question it is. And where will you spend eternity? We thank our brother for coming, and we trust the Lord will bless him and use him for his honour and glory as he sings for the Lord. Now, we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word, to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and to the chapter number 4. You find the book of the Acts in the early part of the New Testament, just after the Gospel of John. We're turning tonight to the Acts of the Apostles and to the chapter number 4. And just with God's Word open before us, let us bow together just in a short word of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us already in our gathering tonight. We thank Thee for the gospel hymns. We thank Thee for our brother's ministry and song. We pray that Thou would bless those messages to every heart and to every soul, and grant that it would be the case of each individual in our gathering tonight, that they too would consider that question, where will I spend eternity? We thank Thee, O God, tonight for the great message of the gospel, that we can know for sure that we can spend eternity in heaven when we have Christ as our Saviour and know the wonderful joy of sins forgiven. Lord, we do pray that Thou would bless the remaining part of our meeting. Lord, we pray that Thou would pour out Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou would speak, Lord, to every individual heart as Thou alone would see the need. May every child of God be drawn closer, Lord, to Thee. And for any tonight who know Thee not as Saviour and as Lord, we pray that even through Thy Word and through what has already taken place tonight and through what will yet take place, that Thou wilt speak, Lord, that Thou wilt save, that Thou, Lord, will bring glory unto our Saviour's name. Lord, abide with us to this end. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit and exalt our Saviour's name. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory. Amen and amen. There's just one verse of Scripture I want to read with you tonight and speak to you upon, and that's the verse number 12 of Acts chapter 4. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now tonight, Derek and Caroline have brought their little daughter Sophie to the house of the Lord to be dedicated unto the Lord. And that is indeed a blessed thing to do, an important thing to do, to bring our children to the Lord in prayer and to pray for God's blessing upon them. It's interesting to note that the name Sophie, it means wisdom. That's the meaning of the name Sophie. And how indeed we do pray that Sophie will be blessed with God's wisdom. If you think of Solomon tonight, God gave Solomon a wise and an understanding heart. And we do indeed pray for Sophie that the Lord too will give her a wise and an understanding heart. And most importantly of all, we do pray that early in life, she will be made wise unto salvation. Now, as you read through your Bible, you'll read the names of many different people from many different walks and avenues of life. But dear people, tonight the greatest of all names in Scripture that you will read and you will hear about is none other than God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of Christ in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah says His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in our verse before us tonight here in Acts chapter 4 and the verse 12, we see reference being made to the very name of Christ. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In this verse and in this chapter, the Apostle Peter is speaking to the Jewish priests and to the Jewish Sadducees. They were religious leaders of the day. Prior to this, in Acts chapter 3, God had used Peter as a servant and as his witness in the healing and in the saving of the lame man. And whenever you come to chapter 4, the Jewish authorities have apprehended Peter. And they asked them the question, how was this lame man healed? How was he made whole? And Peter answers them by telling them that it was through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Look at what he says to them in verse 10 of the chapter. He says, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. My, Peter is faithful to the Lord. And he tells his people how it was through the Lord's power, through the Lord's grace, that this lame man was healed and was made whole. But you know, Peter doesn't miss the opportunity, because he goes on here to speak to the same people about God's so great salvation in Christ. And this he does through verse 12. When he says to them, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And there he speaks to this people how that God's so great salvation is found in Christ and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And dear people, here we surely see the reason why the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important. Yes, for some in the world tonight, it's maybe just a swear word. It's maybe just a curse word. But if you read your Bible, you'll see that that's not so with the name of Christ. When you read of the name of Christ in the Bible and the Word of God, it is always identified with God's so great a salvation. Tonight, for a few moments, I want us just to think upon the person and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation. As we look at this verse before us, there are three important lessons I want you to note regarding Christ and God's so great salvation. First of all, I want you to see here that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Peter says there in the latter part again of verse 12. It says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Peter here is speaking as he speaks to these Jews. He tells them how they could only be saved from their sins through the person and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my, this is the message of the entire Bible. You think of Paul whenever he was writing to young Timothy, he spoke of Christ. And he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Think again of what Christ said at the conversion of Zacchaeus. Speaking of himself, he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Think again of what the Lord himself said way back in the Old Testament time. And in the book of Isaiah, he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. My, the hymn writer rightly says, we have heard the joyful news. Jesus saves, spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. And friends, as you and I go through this life, you and I every day are bombarded with news. You switch on the television, you have news. You turn on your radio, you have news. You put on your internet, you have news. You read the paper, you have news. From all over the world, all different kinds of news, and maybe some of it is important. But I want to tell you each and every one tonight, the greatest news, the most important of all news is that you and I can hear and hearken to, is this great message that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to save us from our sins. There's no greater news to hear. Friend, let me say to you tonight that in saving you from your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ is one who can save you from the guilt of all of your sin. In other words, through the Lord Jesus Christ, all your sins can be forgiven. There was a man in the Old Testament called Hezekiah. He was saved and he knew his sins forgiven. And this is what he said about the Lord. He says, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. He knew the forgiveness of all of his sins through Christ. Let me say also that in saving you from your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can give you power over sin. Yes, he can save you from the very power and dominion of sin itself. In other words, he can break the fetters of sin that bind your life. He can give you grace to live for God, grace to live for God's honor and God's glory. To all whom he saves, God says in his word, sin shall not have a dominion over you. You think tonight of that man in the New Testament called the demoniac of Gadara. The Bible says he was possessed with a legion of devils. He was a wild man. He was a man that no man could tame, a man that everyone was afraid of. Yet he met with the Lord, and the Lord saved him. And the Bible speaks to you of him sitting, it says, at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And it says he began to publish how great things Jesus had done for him. The Lord broke the fetters of sin that bound his life. Let me say also that in saving you, the Lord Jesus Christ can save you from the penalty of your sin. That penalty of everlasting punishment and hell forever. Yes, he can save you from a lost eternity. He can give you eternal life. He can give you a home, a place in heaven. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the dying thief who was saved beside him on the cross? He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He was talking to him about heaven, that he was going to heaven. And you know, there was once a Christian woman and she was dying from fever. She was in a poor house. She was in our last moments, and as the doctor began to tend to her in her final moments of life, she began to praise the Lord and to rejoice in the Lord. And the doctor says, why on earth are you praising God in this place and in your condition? She turned around and she said, well, doctor, I'm going from a poor house to a mansion in the glory. She was looking forward to heaven. And remember what Jesus says to all whom he saves. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Praise God, when the Lord Jesus Christ saves you, he will take you one day to heaven, one day to glory. Let me say tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, he purchased the blessings of this so great salvation. How? By his substitutionary death upon the cross of Calvary. Remember what Peter said to those who were saved in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 18 and 19. He says, for as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ purchased salvation for all who will trust him by his substitutionary death, dying in the place for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible speaks of Christ and says of Christ who gave himself a ransom for all. My, this salvation is God's gift to all who will repent of their sin, to all who will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You remember the message of Peter as he spoke in the house of Cornelius, speaking of Christ, he said this, and to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. My friend, whenever you buy a house or buy a piece of property and pay for that property, that house, it becomes your own by right. But let me say this, friend, whenever you repent of your sin and come as a repentant sinner to Christ and trust him as your Savior, praise God, you shall be saved. Jesus says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, as you think of this verse tonight, see this truth, that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice secondly tonight from this verse before us, notice the second lesson, and it is this. That there is no salvation apart from Christ. There is no salvation apart from Christ. Look at what Peter says at the beginning of this verse. He says in Acts chapter 4 and the verse 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. And by those words there, Peter is warning these Jews that if they remained out of Christ, if they remained apart from Christ, they would never partake of God's so great salvation. Friend, tonight the same applies to you and I also. If we do not come to Christ, if we do not trust Him as our Savior, then we can never partake or enter in to God's salvation. We can never receive God's salvation. The hymn writer says, out of Christ, without a Savior, with no hope, nor refuge nigh. And my, if you have not Christ as Savior, I tell you this, you have no hope, you have no refuge of God's salvation. Speaking of all who are saved, all who have God's salvation, Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Let me say that no one has or no one ever will be saved who is apart from Christ, who does not come to Christ. Let me say this, that if you do not trust Christ as Savior, you can never be saved from the guilt of your sin. You see, the Bible says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. All your good works, all your self-righteousness cannot blot out your sin before God. Only Christ and His blood can blot out your sin before God Almighty. Speaking of Christ, the Bible says, the Son of Man of power on earth to forgive sins. By something else, if you do not trust Christ as Savior, then the fetters of sin can never be broken in your life. You can reform your life. You may try as you may. You may seek after all kinds of religion and the rites of religion and the ceremonies of religion, but all these things piled together cannot break the fetters and the dominion of sin in your life. See, the Bible speaks to us about man, and it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 that man is without strength. He has no power in and of himself to break the fetters of sin. Friend, realize this truth tonight. Apart from Christ, you cannot break free from the prison house and the fetters and the bondage of sin that bind your life. Now, you're just like a rabbit caught in the snare. Maybe you've seen the rabbit in the snare. It's caught there. It can't break free. And in and of yourself, you cannot break free from the fetters of sin. You think tonight of the woman that we read of in the Bible with the issue of blood. The Bible speaks of her and it says, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. My, she wasn't made any better. She was only made better when she met with Christ and was touched by Christ, by the Son of God Himself. Friend, only Christ can liberate you from the prison house of sin. The Apostle Paul, he asked the question, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? In other words, who shall deliver me from my sin? He answers by saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. My, you may try to reform your life, but apart from Christ, you'll return to your sin. You'll return to your old ways. You'll never break the fetters of sin. But something else as well, if you do not trust Christ as Savior, you can never be saved from the wrath to come. You can never be saved from the penalty of your sin. What did Jesus say in John chapter 3 and the verse 36? He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God that abideth on him. Now if we turn in our Bibles over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And the verses 7 to 9, here you read of those who are apart from Christ when the Lord comes back again. What will be their end? Well, look at what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse number 7. He says, unto you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. My, all those who are apart from Christ will not be saved from the wrath to come. Friend, if you remain apart from Christ, you can never be saved from the wrath to come. Last year was the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. There's many reports in our news and many things in the papers to read about. And multitudes perished in that awful tragedy. Why? Because they were not in the lifeboats. And they perished in a watery grave. And dear friend, let me say to you tonight that if you are not in Christ when you die, if you're not in Christ when the Lord come back again to judge this world, then you too will perish in a lost sinner's hell. You cannot be saved from the wrath to come. Oh, see tonight that there is only salvation through Christ. See tonight from this great text that there is no salvation apart from Christ. But one final thing I want you also to note here, it is simply this, that neglect of Christ and His salvation is all that is necessary for a man to be lost. Look at what Peter again says in this verse in its entirety. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And here Peter warned these Jews that if they simply neglected Christ, done nothing at all whatsoever about Christ and His salvation, they would be forever lost in their sin. Man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight, let me say this, the same applies to you if you're not saved tonight. If you simply neglect Christ and God's salvation and do nothing about this matter at all, then you too will be lost forever in your sins. You will never know your sins forgiven. You see, the Bible says without shedding of blood, there is no remission apart from the blood of Christ. Your sins can never be forgiven. My, you'll never know deliverance from sin's power. You neglect Christ. You think tonight of Cain, the Old Testament. Cain was a deeply religious man. If he was here today, we'd say he was a churchgoer. His life was full of religion, yet he neglected Christ. And there was no change in his life. And he lost his temper with his brother. And as you know in the Bible, he slew his brother. He killed his brother. See, all his religion didn't change his life. He neglected Christ. And friend, if you neglect Christ, you can never have life eternal. Remember what Jesus said to those Jews who neglected Him. He says, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. My friend, if you neglect Christ, you will find no escape. There'll be no fire exit from the wrath to come. Turn with me in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 2. And just look with me at a little question you find there in the verse number 3. And this is what the Apostle Paul says as he writes here to those who neglect Christ as Savior. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You think of that question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And apply it to yourself and ask yourself the question. How shall I escape if I neglect so great salvation? You know, it has been said by one of old and rightly said that neglect is the shortest road to hell. Friend, that's true. If you simply neglect Christ and the gospel, you will perish in your sin. Why? Because you're a sinner. The Bible says by nature and practice. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. My, because of your sin, the Bible says you're already condemned to a lost eternity. You see, the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Oh, friend, I urge you tonight, I beseech you, whoever you are not saved, don't neglect Christ as your Savior. You may neglect other things in life, and really, maybe the consequences of that neglect may not be so much. But you know, if you neglect Christ as your Savior, the consequences of that neglect are catastrophic. Oh, friend, do not neglect Christ to the ruin of your soul. That's what will happen for time and for eternity if you neglect Christ as Savior. And it said in the year 1941 in the state of New Jersey, in the United States of America, there was a huge forest fire. And soldiers were drafted in to fight that fire and try to bring it into control. And they were trapped and there was no way out. Flames were all around them. And there was a small plane flying overhead. And the pilot of the plane saw the predicament of the soldiers. And he flew down low and he was able to get a message to them.
that if they would follow him, he would be able to lead them out into safety through the flames. He flew down as low as he could, and he flew as slow as he could. The soldiers, upon receiving that message, immediately, without delay, followed to the direction of the plane. My, they were led in safety through a flame-lined channel to freedom, to safety, and to life. They didn't delay. They didn't dilly-dally. They didn't waste any time. And friend, I would urge you tonight, whoever you are unsaved, don't delay in coming to Christ. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. How can you be saved from your sins? How can your sins be forgiven? How can the fetters of sin be broken in your life? How can you be saved from the wrath to come and be sure of heaven? How? The answer is Christ and Christ alone. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That was the message here that Peter was preaching to these Jews. When he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Friend, tonight on sea, be a young person, an older person. That's the message we preach to you. That's the all-important thing tonight. That's the all-important issue. That you can bow your head at night in peace with God and know your sins forgiven. Know that you're saved, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and that you're ready and sure of heaven. Friend, what are you going to do tonight with Christ? I urge you, I beseech you, if you're not saved, to come to him, to trust him. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Take Christ just as he's offered to you in the gospel. Come to him just as you are. Lift up your heart in prayer to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, save me and take me to heaven, and God will hear your cry. He will save your soul. He will take you in. And he will make you a child of his kingdom for time and for all of eternity.